Okay, good evening, everybody. Tonight's shiur is Le'ul Nishmas, Mars Bela, Basi Baruchim, sponsored by Baruchim and his family, and Hashem Shem Aliyah. And learn Le'ul Nishmas. This Shabbos is Parshas Mishpatim, which is a parsha that has many, many different mitzvahs. One of the famous psukim in the parsha is Parakov Gimel, Shmos Parakov Gimel, Pasuk Zion, the first few words of the Pasuk, Midvar Sheker Tirchok. They have to stay far away from falsehood. That's the simple meaning of the Pasuk. It doesn't say don't lie. That it says elsewhere in the Chumash, in Parashat Kedoshim, it says also Shakur, but here it says Midvar Sheker Tirchok. So there are many different points that can be derived from this. I'll read one for the Sefer as Naim LaTorah, from Zalman Sarotskin, writes as follows: Etzim ha'azhara shalolo daber sheker, the basic warning in the law in the Torah not to speak falsehood, that's before it's for Parshas Kedoshim. That's the pasuk I mentioned before, Parshas Kedoshim. Veikar perikates, it's a losa shakur ish pamiso. El shakan hizir shafilo b'mokom she'etzim ha'sheker mukhoch. Even when there would be a reasonable reason to say something that's not true, it would seem to be a good reason. For example, Kamosha Amru, we'll see in a moment, the Gemara in Yavam and stuff, Samechei, that Mutal Shanas from the Hashalom, which allowed to bend the truth in order to keep peace among people and so on. Okay, what's up there? Af oz yishtadel adaber beloshon amishtamas betray ape. Even there, when it's mutter to tell something's not true, but you should try and do it in such a way that maybe your words can be interpreted in different ways, you know, the two different ways to interpret your what you're saying and so on. They say yisrachik min hasheker. V'chein pirish rashi is dira Yaakov over this. Zalman Sarotskin refers to psukim back in Parshas Toldos, when Yaakov disguises himself as Esav, and the father Yitzchak can't really see, so he feels him, and he says, who are you? And he says, Anochi Esav b'chorecha. So Rashi there comments, Anochi, I, right? And then he says, but Esav is your b'chor, right? As if there's a pause in between. He said it in such a way that it can be interpreted in different ways. Instead of I am Esav, he said, who's bringing this stuff to me? He said, I. And Esav, your b'chor, right? That's not what he said, but it could be understood in different ways, right? He didn't say I'm the Esav, I'm Esav, right? There are different ways to you know. So therefore, if you can, even though there was an important thing and it was an important purpose, you stay away from devar sheker, not just from lies, but devar sheker tichok. Stay far away from it. Shkachol chomos midvar sheker. Below Amar Beloshin Sheev Shal Afar Shal Emes. Now, let's try and say it in a way that it could be interpreted as being true. Right? So, I mean, you can have a double entendre. You can say it in a way that can interpret it two different ways. So it could be interpreted as the truth. Okay, that's what Zalman Sarotskin suggests. But what he does point out, we do see from that Gemara, is that under certain circumstances, it is in fact permitted not to tell the truth. And we've talked about this in previous shurim over the years. That famous Gemara in Yevamos that he's referring to, Samech Hamad Beit. The Gemara makes a statement. The Amar Rabbi Law, this is Yevamah Samachem Beis, Mutal Adam L'Shanos B'Dvar HaShalom. A person can change facts in order to keep the peace. Where do you see that from? Where do you see that you can bend the, you know, you can bend the truth, huh? We'll get to that in a second, okay? Yeah, as you see it, right. But the Gemara learns, they want to learn out from Psukim. The Gemara wants to turn out from Psukim. And he points out, the Gemara points out, Psukim in Bereshis, Perek Nun, Psukim, Tezvav, Fiyazai, the very end of the Chumash, after Yaakov Vinu dies, the brothers of Yosef are afraid, oh, now he's going to give it back to us. Now we're going to get it. The only reason he didn't do anything until now, he didn't want to upset the father. Now the father's gone. So they made up a whole story that before he died, our father called us in and told him, and told us to please tell Yosef, tell you to forgive us, and so on and so forth, right? So it says, Shenemar Avicha Tziva Tzetra, Ko Somer Liesu, Ono Sona, Vigomer Gomer. All right, so that's the step one. Rav Nosson Omer, Rav Nosson, that the Gemara's Lashon there, it was Mutter Lo Adam Lashonos Vigar Hashem, it's Mutter. And Rav Nosson comes and says, it's even a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah sometimes. Shenemar is a psukim in Navi. It says, Vayomer Shmuel, Eich Elech V'Shama Shol V'Haragini. When Kadosh Baruch Hu sent the Shmuel to anoint David HaMelech as the Melech, so Shmuel says, this is in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tazayin. He says, Shaul's going to hear about it, he's going to kill me. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a tip. He said in a certain way, he said, go take take an animal, make it look like I'm going to bring a carbon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself gave him advice how to do it in such a way that Shaul wouldn't know what was going on. So therefore, mitzvah. And then the Gemara gives a third point.
That Shaul did not bring a carbon?
At that point, I don't know. Maybe he also did. I don't remember now. I think he did not. I don't think, you're right. In the end, he did bring the carbon. He did bring the carbon. That wasn't the purpose. And that goes to what I said before. It could be interpreted as true because Taki did it, but that wasn't the purpose. I think in the end, he did bring the carbon. Okay? I think that's what Rishonim said. Based on the Psukim, the lie was that wasn't his real purpose. It wasn't his primary purpose. Yeah. Okay? And then, and the third statement the Gemara says is, or the third point this comes from, is the very small Tana God of Shalom, Shafa Kadosh Baruch Hu Shina Demikar Ksiv Anizo Kain Vesov Ksiv Anizo Kanti. The first time the lie in Bereishis Parak Yud Ches Pasuk Yud Beis, when Kadosh Baruch Hu tells the Malachim, tell Avram that he's going to have a baby with Sarah, and says Sarah left. Right, what did Sarah say? Anizo Kain, my husband's an old man. Right. So when the Malachim told it over to Avram, they said, why did your wife laugh and say she's too old to have a baby? Not exactly what she said. She said that, but she also said my husband's too old, right? To keep the peace in the household. That's what he was saying. So that's how the Gemara learns out. But again, you can see that there's certain circumstances under which one can, bend the truth if there's a positive purpose. That's what emerges from this Gemara in Yevamos, Samachem Beis, that Zalman Sarat's Kunana and others are referred to in this context. Also, I thought you were referring to this, the famous Gemara in Ksubas. At the beginning of the Masechta, I took the wrong Gemara. Do me a favor, get me Ksubas 1. So one problem with taking the Gemara from here, all these different volumes. So,
Which one?
Ksubas Aleph. It's a famous Gemara, I don't really need the Gemara, but everyone knows this Gemara because it's become a popular song at the wedding. Right, the Gemara says in the very bottom of Tez Zayin and Beis in Ksubas, the Gemara asks, Tanarbanan, Ketzad Meraktin Lifnei Akala. Right? We all know that from the song, right? What do you say when you dance in front of a bride? Ketzad Meraktin Lifnei Akala. What do you say about the bride? So, Beshama Omrin, Kala Kimoshi. What do you say about her? Whatever is true, right? We praise her, whatever she is. Okay? And, basically it says, Kimoshi Lifi Yofel Chijusa, Bekalsin also. Right? If she's not so beautiful, they can't say too much, right? You can't lie. And Basila Omrim, Kala Nova Chasuda. You always say what a beautiful and charming Kala this is. So I'm on Basham Basila. Haresha Oysa Chigeris, Osuma. She had all kinds of blemishes. She was blind. She was lame. But are you going to say Kala Nova Chasuda? It's an open lie. Everyone knows you're lying, right? So, Torah Omra, our Pasuk, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. What are you going to do? Basham is, I don't mean to be rude, but it says Midvar Sheker Tirchak in the Torah. So, you going to say things that aren't true? Okay, so I'm on Beisil and Beishamai. So Beisil said back to Beishamai, Divrechem, this is where you're on your design of it all. Mishalokach mekach ram in a shuk, yashbichana beinov, or you got another beinov. Someone buys something, and they call you over, I'd like you to see my new sofa. You think it's the ugliest thing you ever saw. Who would buy such a thing? Then you tell the person, that's horrific, You talk, oh, very nice. I say it in such a way, right? So wouldn't you say that? It's the same thing over here. Okay, so that's a question. And we can't amru, chachomim, la'olam te'idaitos, la'olam revis, in my brios. You have to get along with people pleasant. You have to be polite. Recently, someone was just telling me, he said, there's some book a guy was writing that he decided to, nothing to do with it, no, I don't think a Jewish person. He decided for, I don't know, a month, a half a year, a year, whatever, he's going to be careful not to say anything that's not true. And he writes about the experience of so many things that people do, I'll be there in 2 minutes, and you come in 5 minutes, whatever, all kinds of things that people, I've given an example before, sometimes parents are guilty when they're trying to tell the children, if the father gives the son a big musa shmuz about how he's not supposed to lie, he's not shaker tirchak, and they lie, and while the father's giving the child musa, one of the other kids pokes his head and says, Dad, you have a phone call, guy, tell him I'm not home. Right. Okay, there went the whole Musa Shmuz right out the window because obviously in a certain circumstance the kid learned it is okay. So that's why I always try to be careful. Tell him I'm not available. Okay, that's true, I'm not available. All right, anyway, so that's what's going on in this Gemara. But it's based on the Sheker Tirchak. So Beishamai is strict. He says you can't say something. That's what Beis Hillel says. To be more of a Da'asem because it is permissible. I never understood. It's interesting. The truth is the song, Ketzim Rak Mifnei Akala, that we sing, Kala Nova Chasuda, it's almost like we're saying, how do we make a song out of it? We're saying to this Kala, well, You know, luckily for you, we pass right by Sil. Lucky for you, Kalman v'chassel. Otherwise, you know, we'd have to sing a different tune. I don't know. We were saying, is that what we're saying to her? Is that the biggest compliment? I don't know. Anyway, so that's that Gemara. So I came across an interesting question of this in a sefer called Titein Emes LeYaakov. That's the name of the sefer, written by a contemporary Talmud Chacham, Yaakov Chizkiyo Fish from Eretz Yisrael. And he has a very interesting question. That he has a couple of gedolim, which we'll see what he says shortly. Listen to this. If Echad wrote to Lishloach Chavila Shal Matzos, a guy was sending somebody else before Pesach a package of matzah. He was sending it with a cab or a delivery driver, maybe Uber Eats or whatever. I don't know. He's sending it with somebody else. And he's afraid that a guy is going to take it, he's going to throw it in the back of the trunk and pick it up and drop it, you know. And by the time it gets to the owner, as it is, half the matzahs are broken, now they'll all be broken. Right, so therefore, what did he do? He wanted to write on the box, glass, a fragile glass. Okay, and that way the people who are handling the box of the crate will be careful with it because they'll see that it's glass. It's a lie, though. Right, so in such a circumstance, is it mutter to say something's not true? Right, that was the question. What's that? Yeah, so that's again, there's some sort of grave of thoughts, there's something there. So on the one hand, I would say, well, no, you can't. On the other hand, this type of lie, there's no benefit for you from it, meaning you're not getting more than you really should. The guy should be careful, no matter what it is, right? I mean, you have the right to expect that if you give somebody something to deliver, he's going to deliver it intact. So you're not really getting anything. First of all, no one gets hurt by this lie or this deception. And second of all, you're not gaining anything extra, so there's an extra measure of precaution, so to speak, but you're not getting something you're not entitled to, right? You're not getting an extra benefit because of this lie that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So that's it. That's what it's started, right? One thing is about Sheker Tirchak, we don't care, like Beis Shammai says. On the other hand, you know, this lie is really just to give you what you're entitled to really anyhow. Yeah.
You put fragile, which is true.
Yeah. Right, that's for sure good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then write glass.
Yeah.
And right before glass, you put a small cuff.
Kid glass. Okay. All right. You can come up with different ways, but that was the question that was asked in this safe. We'll see how he deals with it. Now, before I get to how he deals with it, there are a number of possibilities to pull this through. There is a Gemara in Baba Basra. About Tesvav and Aleph. I forgot to bring, but we'll do it at it. Okay. The Gemara Baba Basra, Tesvav and Aleph. I need a marshal, so it's not there anyway. So the Gemara Baba Basra talks about who wrote the different works of Tanakh. It's an interesting Gemara. It's an important Gemara to look at once. But anyway, it talks about the Torah, and one of the particular problems is the last eight psukim of the Torah. The last eight psukim of the Torah begin with the words Vayomos Sham Moshe Eved Hashem. So one opinion is that, in fact, Moshe did not write that. Yehoshua wrote it. Yehoshua finished the last eight psukim of the Torah because Moshe could not write, and Moshe died. This wouldn't be true. Okay. One second. So that's one opinion. The other opinion, you said that opinion. No, Moshe wrote it, even though it hadn't happened yet. But in effect, he was writing what Hashem said. Okay. So the question is. So there's a long Maharsha there in the Chiddushei Agados there in the Baba Basra Tesvav, where he discusses the issue of what of that opinion. Okay, we discussed that opinion at Moshe. The Gemara has an interesting question. I'll just give one answer, not really for tonight, but it's worth it. It's a Moshe wrote it b'dema, dalad mem ayin. Now, we usually assume, as we learned, that he was crying and he wrote it with the tears instead of with the ink, and somehow it came out like that. But the Vilna Gaon, and independently Baal Shem Tov, it's very interesting. Both the Baal Shem Tov and his Sefer Nechomish, and the Lagon and his commentary on the Chomish, have the same approach to this. That dema is not from the word Dema'os, tears, but from the word miduma. Miduma is when you have Chuma and Chulin mixed together. It's called miduma. It's a mixture. What it means is as follows. The Torah, basically HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, in a certain sense we know, Kabbalistically anyway, and even not Kabbalistically, the Torah existed before the world. But it wasn't readable, and it wasn't written in a way that anybody could understand it. What Moshe Rabbeinu did was, at the Kadosh Baruch Hu's direction, kind of forged the words into words that we can understand. It wasn't just a mishmash of letters that couldn't be understood anymore. Right? Because otherwise, when the Torah existed before the world, so what did Moshe do? The answer is Moshe, at the Kadosh Baruch Hu's direction, wrote it in such a way that now it could be read. So the suggestion they give, I'm oversimplifying, but the what Moshe did here was he wrote only down the mishmash, so to speak, the meduma, so it wasn't intelligible. And then Yoshua sort of cut out the letters, put it in such a way that we can understand it. So that's how they suggest. But in any event, there's a long Marsha, and it discusses different aspects of one thing that Marsha says is that I midvar sheker tirchak. Well, Moshe didn't say anything. He wrote it. An implication there, perhaps, in the word is midvar sheker tirchak, words. And if you're writing it, and again, he wasn't stammer, he's writing a directive of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so maybe that's not the same isser. Maybe midvar sheker tirchak is a stronger opposition, so to speak, to words there is to than it is the spoken word than there is to the written word, right? Midvar sheker tirchak. So that's certainly right. But at that point when he wrote it, it wasn't true. When he wrote those words, it wasn't true yet. Eventually, it came true. Okay, it's a horror, but at that moment, it wasn't true. Right? It was Moshe, so it was only Ksiva. So therefore, it's not a violation, perhaps, of Dvar Sheker Tirchak. But the truth is, and the Maharsham himself gives other answers. There was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's right. It was Nevu. A lot of the answers you said, but this answer does not seem to be widely accepted because there are other indications that writing is the same thing, and certainly there's Gnevus Das. And when you're writing something, it's certainly misrepresenting, it's certainly deceitful. So it's hard to say that would be, you know, the approach. So there is another relevant Gemara, which maybe, again, I'm going to come back to what they say in the Sefer later, but there's a relevant Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, which also talks directly about writing. This is on Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, the Mishnah, says... I'm sorry, one second, not Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, but Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Chav Zayin Amud Beis in the Dharm, at the very bottom. The Mishnah says the following. Nodrin laharogin lachrava lamuchsin shei truma. What does this mean? Okay, it's certain circumstances where you can take a neder in order to protect your property from someone else taking it inappropriately. So it says if you have somebody who is a murderer, okay, basically, robbers are going to come in and say, you know, with your gun, and say, give me your property or I'll kill you, right? They're planning to steal your property. You know, we'll take a break for a second because we'll understand this mission better. A number of years ago, there was a story going around. I don't think it was necessarily a true story, but anyway, it was one of these stories that a person every day came to his workplace and he put in the fridge in his workplace. He had a thermos full of milk. And by the time he came to lunch every day, the milk was gone. People helped themselves to his milk. And he put a sign up, private, don't touch, private property. It didn't make a difference. So he had a suspicion, as I was saying, there were other observant Jews in the workplace. So he put a sign on the thermos one. They said, this milk is not Chalav Yisrael. And all of a sudden, his milk was there every day. Right, so now again, it's a joke. I don't know if it's a true story. It's trying to illustrate the point that sometimes people are more careful with it's one thing. I might steal from somebody, but drink cold stam, I'm not gonna do. You know? Okay, that's the idea. There's a quip. Somebody quipped once that the it's a shame that there's no line in the Mishnah Berurah that says Yesh Machmirin Shalol Ligzol or Yesh Nogin Shalol Adar Loshnar. You know, if there'd be such a time, yes, I'll get it. Chomer and Mishnah Berurah, we're going to be careful about it. It's in the Torah. All right, anyway, so with that background, you have this strange case in this Gemara. There were people who were robbers and thieves, but they were careful. They kept certain mitzvahs. You know, that's strange. It sounds strange, but there are people like that. So he says, no, Jew Harogan, these people are ready to kill you, okay? Or Haramin, which is going to take longer to go into than we're able to do now, okay? But also, people want to take something, Vila Muhsin. Muhsin are tax collectors. Okay, tax collectors. We're not talking about legal tax, or illegal taxes. What do you say? You say about this stuff that they want to take from you, oh, I want to tell you this is truma. So again, a guy might kill for it, but he's not going to eat something. It's a tzitzchi of karis, after all. So he's not going to eat something, he's not going to eat truma. But we'll focus on the tax collector's case, right? The guy's trying to seize property, you know, unlawfully. So basically, you're allowed to take an edder, okay, and say, oh, it's truma. This belongs to truma, and therefore the guy won't attack you, even though in actuality it's not truma. But basically, you're protecting your stuff by saying that this is truma. Rashi explains, right? What you want to do here, Rashi, what's he going to say? What's a neder? Neder is a lie. I'm taking neder that I'm prohibiting myself, we'll see later in the Gemara, I'm prohibiting myself from X, Y, and Z. This is not tumah. It's a way of swearing that it's tumah, even though it's not tumah. Okay, the tchiv kar, tchiv misa for a zar, it's tumah. Therefore, the guy says that it's tumah. Muksa means nota meches hamelech. Rotsa little peros about kach. The guy wants to take all my fruit, all my produce. He's going to take it and claim he's going to go back to the king. So you can say it. Afal pi sheino shel tumah. Yochalido sheino shel tumah. Kadesh lo yitlim. Okay, that's the Mishnah in the Dorm Chav Zayin Rebbe. The next page, and he wants to back his point. I'm so telling you this is truma. I'm going to take a nether, okay, that will prohibit me from eating a certain thing or doing a certain thing. He's lying, but this is considered a forced nether, which is the theme of these Mishnahs. What's that? Okay. Now, on the next page, Chav Chesem and Aleph. The Gemara explains, hey, another, what is it? Omer, Omer, ye asu peros olam alai, im ein shel beis hamelech, or ein shel truma. All fruits in the world will be forbidden to me from now on if this is not truma. It's just a way of backing it up. So you see from this Gemara, to protect your property, right, from being taken illegally, as a side point, there's a run, you know, in the Dharma you have the run on the side of the page, in addition to Rashi. The Rashi is probably not Rashi, it's somebody else. Usually in the yeshivas, they learn the Dharma, they learn the run on the side of the page. So the run here, huh? Okay, so the Ran wrote over here that in Eretz Yisrael, you know, everyone owns the land, and therefore the taxes don't apply. So people want to extract from here, oh, you don't have to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael. It's not what the Ran meant. Talking about illegal taxes, not taxes that go to support you. You know, the taxes that we pay go to, you know, there's an army and there's police force and there's whatever. Okay, wait, I don't have that problem right now. But that's the Ran over there. So from there, one can derive that in order to protect you, save your property, that it's worth it to bend the truth, even though it's not true. Now, what did you mean, in effect? What do you say? You know, basically, what you're saying is that I will ask myself for all these fruits. In your mind, you mean for the next 30 seconds, right? There's something that could be, like I said before, can be conceived of as being true, but this way, you know, you say it in such a way, and so therefore that would seem to be a riot. On the other hand, as I said, maybe that's not really a riot, because again, you're not really taking the neder. Right? You're not really, you're saying it, and you have in mind, I just mean for today or for the next hour or whatever, so maybe that's not such a riot. But there's a possibility anyway that is a riot. Another possible riot, maybe a better riot, is the Gemara, also in Yevamos, but in a later part of Yevamos, if I have that here, I think I do. Okay. Bring it. Yeah. Okay, a Gemara later in Yevamos, and Daf Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah is the beginning of the Perek. The last several prakim of Maseches Yevamos talk about a man whose wife, a man went overseas and he never came back. But that's the real Aguna, the classic Aguna case. So today, the word Aguna is usually used to describe a woman whose husband refuses to give her a get. So she's chained up to him. It's not that he disappeared. We know exactly where he is, but it's hard to force him to give again. That's the common use of aguna nowadays. But in the Gemara, when they talk about aguna, it means a man went on business, went on a trip someplace overseas, they never came back, and what became of him? Right? I mean, people remember after 9/11, there were a number of these cases in New York of people who went to work and then never returned. So did they make it? Were they actually killed in the attacks, or they ran off, and you know, the woman doesn't know? Right, they're all kinds of big shilas. I once saw years ago, somebody gave me a disc with a collection of tshuvas from American rabbis, the early 1900s. Most of the people I'd never heard of. They weren't necessarily the most well known, but anyway, some people collected different tshuvas, an essay written in one. I have it home somewhere now too. For example, one of the things there was the giving. Hechsher to Coca-Cola, because Coca-Cola has a secret formula, so they won't divulge it to anybody. So how can you give a hashkocha? So what they worked out was, they tell you the ingredients are from among these, right? So that's what they're preserving. Anyway, among the tshuvas in there was a tshuva of Agunas from the Titanic. You know, the people whose wives were waiting for them here, and then they never made it. So do we know for a fact that a guy died, et cetera, et cetera. So these types of shilas. So anyway, the first Mishnah, that Perek, it's called Yud Dalam and Beis, the Mishnah, So they traveled together to Medina Sayam. And as far as we know, Shalom Bein Aleveinov and Shalom Balom, there were no issues between them, and there were no issues in the world. There were any wars going on where they were traveling and so on. And as she came back, Amra Mace Bailey, she said, terrible news, on the trip my husband died. That's what she said. So then she says, the Mishnah Tina said, we can believe her. We don't require to aid them. Again, it's a whole discussion, but we don't require aid them. She's believable, okay? But if there was a problem between them, then we suspect maybe she ran off and was just going to tell him she took all the money and left him in Bangladesh or whatever. So she came back and now she wants to marry somebody else. It's kind of different circumstances. But if everything is okay, everything's normal, we can believe her when she says Mace Bailey. However, Rabbi Yehuda Omar, La'olam Eina Eina Ne'emenes, we can't believe her. Elim Kane Bosa Bocha, she came back crying. We go there, Kruin, and she says, you know, her garments are torn and so on and so forth. And, you know, and she cries, her poor husband died. So then we believe her. She walks in and says, all cheerful and jolly, oh, my husband died. Then we have reason to suspect maybe it's not true. But the Chum says, nevertheless, I'm going to achazu, achazu, tinasi. Either way. Okay, so my Chum is not interested in the subject. But the Gemara, interestingly enough, a few pages later, that's the Mishnah Kuf Yudalim base. The Gemara in Kuf Tazayim base tells a story. Pages here. The Gemara tells a story. It says, Tanya, I'm sorry. Hahi itza, hahi da asila beidina de Behuda. Okay? A woman was coming out to appear before the Bezna of Behuda, okay? And testified that her husband was died while they were away. So before she went in, Amaro, Safti Baalech, Kari Manayach, Sisi Messiah, they told her, you're going before Behuda? Remember, Behuda's Shita is, you only believe the woman if she comes in crying, and so tear your clothes and go in and cry, make a whole hespin for your wife and so on, for your husband, I mean, for your poor late husband and so on. As they told her to do, right? So ask the Gemara, Alfu Shikra, did they teach you a lie? Betzvia. Imke Behuda, Tzvia Lehud, Deina Remenes, Elim Kein Boch, Olam Ahur Liv Kos. I mean, maybe who to hold that way, but what are you telling her to cry? Isn't that telling her a lie? Right? You're telling her to set it up. Now, present it in such a way that, oh, it'll satisfy Yehuda. What do you mean? I mean, it's not true, right? She wasn't, I'm not saying she wasn't brokenhearted, but they tell her to make this whole charade. You know, isn't that training somebody to represent falsehood? So the Gemara said, no, you know, Gemara answered, Inu Karabonin Tzirlei, okay? No, they held that we pass like the Rabbanon. It's good either way. But since you're going to the Bezer of Yehuda, so Amri Tavid Hachi Chegdul Ishrei, you don't really need to do that. You don't need to. You just need to do that to satisfy the Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, but that seems to be also you can bend the truth to get what you're entitled to anyway. We pass like the Rabbanon. So she'd be entitled to the shock that she can remarry anyway, even without crying and wailing and tearing her garments. But since she's going before the Bez of Yehuda, so she can bend the truth in order to get what, in effect, she would get anyway, she's entitled to anyhow. So that would also seem to, answer our question. Okay, the Ainu, again, we're asking, the guy wants to send the matzahs in a box and write glass on it. He's not getting anything extra. He's getting what he's entitled to, what belongs to him, or what he would get anyway. So that's another possible riot from that case. All right, so this is these are some of the riots. Now, in this sefer that I mentioned before, Titei Emes LeYaakov, so he writes, the author writes, again, his Perek Hey Siman Yud Gimel, he writes, in Echad Rotzal Shoch Chavil Shom Matzos, Haimutar Lichto Olav Zechuchis, Bechtei Shizharu B'Zabiyos V'lo Yishoveru. Or Yishoveru, yeah. Shalti Dover Zem, I go on Yosef Shom LeYashiv Shlita at the time. I asked this question of LeYashiv. Hey, Shud the Mutar, it's allowed. Okay, v'chein hu da'as hagona Yisro Yaakov Fisher ki eino kosei b'feir shemash v'tocha chavila zeschuchis. He says, well, don't write this glass in here or contains glass. That's already a lie. Just write glass. Okay, write glass on this table also. I got glass on my notebook. Right? It's like you said, you know, glass. What about glass? I don't know. Let's write the word glass, right? So that's what he says. V'chein not the it means it's like his glass. Now, Chaim Kanevsky, Shlita, Hevi Raya, the Mutter Megvari Yavamas, a different Gemari Yavamas, Kuf Tez Vavim at base. A couple of pages earlier in Yavamas, on a different matter. Okay, if a guy found a barrel, the Kosov Alea Truma, okay, and it says on the barrel, it says Truma, okay, and the question is, do you have to assume that it's a really Truma? Or even if actually the case in the Gemara doesn't say Truma, it's a tough one, a tough stance of Truma. So other initials, Mem for Mice, other things that the Gemara has. Maybe we'll read it to somebody just to have that Gemara here. Kufta, what did I say? Kufta is Rav Medbeis.
Why are you finding that? It's very subjective. Let's say, there's like a Seinfeld episode about this. You want a certain suit, and you're right sold on this suit.
Yeah, right. It's
like there
you're also keeping it from somebody else. Right. I don't think so. I don't think that would be good. I think it would be very problematical to do that. So anyway, the Gemara has on Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis, Amar Leimar Kshishmar Bar Chisda Rav Ashi. Okay, no, it's Rav Atan. Motza Kli V'Kosel of Kuf. He found it in the letter Kuf. So you have to assume that maybe it's meat from carbonus inside, carbon. Mem, Maisa, Dalas, Dimua, right? It has Meduma, like I mentioned before, which is a mixture of Truma and Chulin. And Tess is Tevel, right? And Tof is Truma, okay? You have to assume that it's Truma, okay? However, what the Gemara goes on, it says, Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Velo Chashin and Shem Apinan. Maybe, yeah, that was a barrel, but that was 2 weeks ago. I had Truma in it. I poured the stuff out of it. Now there's no more Truma in it. Okay, maybe we have, it's in it now. Last year, whatever I last used, I had Truma. Now I don't. Okay, so anyway, what emerges in that Gemara, and that's the riot that Reb Chaim Kanevsky wanted to bring, emerges in that Gemara that sometimes maybe people would keep chulin in it, but they wanted people to keep away from it, so they'd write truma on it. Right, like you said with the soul, they'd write truma on it. A little different, because it's my own stuff. Okay, I'm not keeping this from somebody else. So, and Rashi explains, Atzolos perish v'dochi, nech ba'ozeh v'lo gira. Right, I had truma in this barrel. Now, hey, wait a minute, it's a good idea, I'll keep the tough on there. I'll keep it on there. And now I'll put regular stuff in there, but nobody will take it because they'll see that it's Truma. People were very careful, like we saw before. Even the murderers and the tax collectors are careful about Truma. So everyone's careful about Truma. So,
you're still preventing somebody from...
But it's my own stuff, though. It's my own. So that's what he says. And therefore, the Chaim Kanievsky suggests that might be a riot. Okay, that it is okay because after all, it wasn't Truma, but the Gemara says you're allowed to, you're allowed to do that. The Gemara says you're allowed to do it. However, he quotes that Rabbi Yaakov, we saw Yaakov Fisher, Zichrono Lebracha, one of the great Talmid Chacham in Yerushalayim, wrote us, coming to the Sefer. He says that's different because at the time when you wrote the Truma or you put the Tuf on it, the Taka was Truma. Now you simply left other stuff in there. So the Maisek Siva, so to speak, at the time, that's why Fisher suggested maybe it's not such a riot. Okay, because that it really was true, and we just left it on there. Okay, but Reb Chaim Kanievsky, as he goes on, answers back, and he says, no, because Mashakosu Chaim Kanievsky, he gave back. He says, I know that what Fisher said, but I still think it's a riot, because again, at the end of the day, it doesn't go by the moment of the ksiva, right? It doesn't go by the moment of the ksiva. It's what people now will assume. That's the deception. It's still deception here. The fact is that when he wrote the word Tuf Truma, and Echanami was Truma, but now he puts other stuff in there, so it's still deception. He still sees a lot to do it. That's what Chaim Kanievsky argued. That's the dispute between Chaim Kanievsky and Fisher.
Aren't all these examples Kanievsky stuff?
What's that?
Aren't all these examples Kanievsky
stuff? Right, but what comes out from this is that this type of Kanievsky does, where it's indirect, that's going to come to the end. The second is mutter if it's, if you're not gaining, you're not harming anybody, right? Which is, it's the same thing with Kalan of Chasuda or Mishal of Nashon. That's what I'm trying to get to. I think it's mutter, or they can make a case anyway, that it's mutter to keep what's yours rightfully, right? It's your stuff. You don't want other people taking the milk, so you can write on Chodesh. So, and I'm saying it's yours, you know? So now, we'll see in this. We'll come back. So that's the riot that... that's the riot that he brings. Again, Yaakov Fisher disagrees, and he says, no, that's mutter because of the time of the Ksiva. It goes by the time of the Ksiva. That's what he says. He brings a riot from another Gemara, a A Tosfos in Bava Basra, Tzadi Dalman Beis, Bava Basra Hochi Hashta, talks about Shtar Chova, where you predate it, a predated document. It's also not true, and so on. But and he brings from there that there's a Sheker from the time of the Ksiva. So, as it may, again, the conclusion of Rucham Kanievsky is that it's Mutter. Yeah. He does mention that that we said before, well, it's for the purpose of the matzah case, it's not just time to keep what's your own, it's for the purpose of a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, right? But this is time, Dr. Tess Kosev, because of the same real hatter, came in Shekosev, Kenkini Shashara, Matzah Shlemos, Yukal Chai, Mitzvah like a Mishnah, right? The Mutter Lushanos, Kedil Chai, Mitzvah, even Mitzvah Darbonon. All right, some say it's better to write on a fragile, okay? But, you know, if you can, then. You know, if you can get away with less, you get away with less. But that's the only way to do it. Then he seems to be making a lot. So that's the suggestion in this sefer, this back and forth between Chaim Kanievsky and Rabbi Yaakov Israel Fisher. Now, the problem is that there is a Gemara in Shavuos. And this really sheds a different light on the whole subject. There's a Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Lamed Amud Beis to Lamed Amud Aleph. It's a whole pack of different cases that Dayanim, in a court case, have to be careful about because of Midbar Sheker Tichon. Okay, if you look at that sugya, it's just like a whole bunch of different things. Minaya, how do we know you can't do this, you can't do that in the courtroom? Answer is Midbar Sheker Tichon. Right, there's just like a whole slew of cases that starts on, well, it really starts on Lamed Beis, right? He says, Minayin, like give an example, bottom of Lamed Beis. Minayin l'dayin shiyodeh b'din shu meruma shalo yomar hova eidem idim achatchenu. Okay, how do we know that the judge knows that the way witnesses are not telling the truth and so on? He's not allowed to say, well, the witness said it, so I just got to judge the case. I'll do that again. Miro sheker tirchak. And a whole slew of these types of cases. So among the different cases is the following. Minayin was, oh, 1 second. Okay, where somebody is owed, b'chavero money. Okay, let's find the case here. 1 second, let me find the right case. The three people. One second. What's the divam asli? Benign Leshloshan Notion. Let me just find it. Yeah, here it is. Benign Leshloshan Notion. Shloshan Notion Mona Be'echad. Okay? Let's say you have three people who are owed, three creditors who are owed money, $100, by the same guy. Okay? But there are no Edom around. I owe this guy money. So what you do? Shle Echad Baldin Ushlaim Edom. So why not say one will be litigant, the other people, the other two guys will be the Edom, meaning all, you know, they'll serve, the other two will serve as Edom in each case.
Even if they're not.
Yeah, right, even if they weren't. Right. The answer is none of them can serve as Edom. And why is that? Okay.
Roman Gaia.
Because, right, the answer is Midrash Sheker Tichuk. All right. In other words, what are they going to do? We're not going to be able to collect. He owes me $100, he owes you $100, he owes you $100. So we'll make a thing like this. We run out of the Edom. We each want to cut our losses. So what do? You'll be the litigant, and we too will claim that we saw that you owe the money. So you'll get the $100, and we'll split it, $33 each. Right? That way, we minimize the loss, right? He owes each one, and he legitimately owes each other $100. We don't have any Edom, and now he's saying, I don't know what he's talking about. And no contracts, no Edom. So we'll make up a patent, the three of us, okay? That two of us will say that we're Edom. That way he'll have to pay $100, and then we'll split it up, okay? So you can't do that either, because even though I'm only doing it to get something that I'm entitled to. I'm entitled to it. You see from this score, you can't do that. So
the Sheker is now part of the Bezdin itself.
Very good. So that's where this case may be different. And the truth of the matter is, there's a truth in the Rashba. Chela Gimel Sun Pei Aleph. Seems like a Gimel. There we go. a moment.
You're saying legitimate sin.
But more than that, it, what goes on in a courtroom is different. Okay.
How can he be a part of the Shabbat?
I'm sorry. What did I say? Oh, wait a minute. I wrote down the wrong. Oh, just one second. It's not correct. Anyway. All right, so I'll just have to say it outside. The Rashba brings that point. I don't want to read inside this. Words. Chela Gimel. Just a moment. There's a different arrangement. Give me one second, Ken. So let's see this. I think he quote, I have an index here, so he quotes this Gemara. Sure is. Lamed. Oh, yeah. It's his payoff. Yes, it's right. What's going on here? Payoff. It is Chela Gimel Sim Pei Aleph, and that matches what it says here in the index. I'm sorry, give me a second. And what page is it? I apologize. I figured I didn't have to shut my own Shuas Arshbork. I know they have them here. I always have trouble finding things that other people saw them. Sim Pei Aleph, page Samech, Hey, Hod Beis. All right, okay, fine. So I'm sorry, looking for one chelik here. All right, at the end of the day, to have the tshuva from the Rashba, it is, it's chelik gimel sin pei aleph, okay? Basically, the question he's asked is, Rav Nachman de Omar, that's the question. All right. Again, the particular case is not important, but the question is, can you go ahead and bend the truth in order to collect something that you're entitled to al pi din? Tshuva the Rashba writes, Chasle lezari davrom, the lema shikra afilu mokum pseida. Chas shalom that a Jew, Zer Avram, should lie even in Makom Pseida. Dixiv, and he quotes a pasuk in Novi Tzvanya, Parak Gimel, pasuk of Gimel, Sheiris Yisrael or Yasu Avlo v'edabru chozo. Jews will never say something not true and shouldn't lie and so on. And he quotes this Gemara in Shuas, on Lamed Aleph Aleph, that even when you tell the truth, Afila Omer Emes, and Lashad Dibur Eino Osa Derek Shomer Osru, all these cases in the Gemara. Okay, so bottom line is that the Rashba says that it's improper for a person to lie. However, one could suggest, that's what Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva, Chela Gimel Sin Kuflam Gimel. But first, let me just read you from the Rambam, because this is what you said, Mr. Gadda. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Sanhedrin, that maybe there's a difference when we're talking about in Bezdin and on a court. Parakavala Pasuk says, Lo yeh adayin shomev durma, one second. He says, again, he has these things all among the rules of what goes on in a courtroom. Okay, these are all things that happen in a court. The dayan can't listen this way, and the dayan can't do that. And when it brings down these cases in the Gemara about a person bending the truth, he has it in the context of what a dayan, what a judge is not permitted to do. So, in other words, bottom line, one could argue that the Midrash Sheker Tirchak is a specific din or a specific isser, anyway, that applies dafka in Bezdin. And it's very interesting. The Rabbeinu Yonah, not be allowed to lie otherwise, but it's not under Midvar Sheker Tichon. Rabbeinu Yonah has in his Shari Tshuva. No, I think he's agreeing with the Rashba. The Rashba is not clear. It's a little more, right, it's true, a little more general. Right, it's correct. The Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva, in the Yerodei Chele Gimel, Simon Kuf Lam and Gimel also talks about this. Okay, and Moshe also, why did Simon Kuf Lam and Gimel, Moshe also seems to say that it's a din in Bezdin. He understands that the whole Midrash Sheker Tichok is really limited to Bezdin. Okay, so this being the case, you know, I'm not saying that otherwise that it's mutter to lie. Okay, this is the very end of the tshuva. No, sorry, one second. He says, again, it's talking about a different thing altogether, but he says that the Midrash Sheker, listen to his words. The Gemara doesn't quote in the case that he's talking about. It's not important for us now. It doesn't quote Midrash Sheker Tichon. The Namar Berkah B'Din Yeshivas Bezdin. Yeshivas Bezdin. Okay? It's a Din Yeshivas Bezdin. Now, the Rabbeinu Yonah, you'll see, the Rabbeinu Yonah in the Shari Tshuva Chelek Gimel, starting in Simon Kuf Ayin Ches, has 9 cases where, you know, about lying. And each time he brings Psukim from Navi to prove it. He never brings the Pasuk of Midrash Sheker Tichon. And all these things, you're not allowed to get monetary gain to this, to other, all these things he lists off. And he never mentions that it's the Pasuk Midrash Sheker Tichon has all these psukim from Navi. So that's what the suggestion is, that Rabbeinu Yonah also agrees. Rabbeinu Yonah also agrees that the actual love of Midrash Sheker Tichon, not really love, but the din of Midrash Sheker Tichon is a special din in Bezdin. Therefore, when you're not in Bezdin, and the issue is not an issue of Midrash Sheker Tichon, but is rather something more from the Rabbanon, okay, let's start from Navi. So then there's room to be lenient if there is a purpose, A, a constructive purpose, B, nobody gets hurt, and C, all you're doing is getting what you're entitled to in the first place. You follow? And if you have a pasuk from the Torah, it'd be harder to bend around, harder to play around with. Okay, then you'd have to be like Beis Hillel, you know, someone like that to play around with it, to say, you know, we ignore Midrash Sheker Tichon. But and Beis Shammai didn't. So it's interesting that the Sefer L'Reicha Kamocha is a contemporary Sefer. What's that? Right, he doesn't buy it, right. Yeah, he learns the Tartus in Bezin. In Ochanami. But actually, the Gemara should have said that Beis Hillel couldn't get that answer. It's true. It's a good aura. Yeah. Not from that sugya. So in this Sefer, he quotes, first of all, the Sefer Yerayim. He quotes the Rambam. Okay, and others who say that Chiyuv Har Chokov Rak B'Dayan V'Eidim V'Lo B'Mil V'Alma. He quotes many who hold that way. Many don't. He quotes many who disagree. But many hold that it's that the whole Isser of Midrash Sheker Tichon, the whole din of Midrash Sheker, keep saying Isser, the whole din of Midrash Sheker Tichon. He quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, by the way. Shar Gimel Sim Kuf Os Kuf Ayin Chetz Kuf Peivav. He brought always Psukim from Navi and not the parts of Midrash Sheker Tichon. Okay, and it's interesting. In Pirkei Avos, the end of Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, "Al Shoshu Drama Olam Kaim Al Din Val Emes Hashalom." Right? At the beginning it says something else, Torah Vodim Nesasar. But at the end it says Din Emes Hashalom. And there, the Rabbeinu Yonah's commentary, Pirkei Avos, writes, because the pasuk says, "Lindo Shalom Daber Sheker." Right? The personal used to lying. So why didn't this quote Midrash Sheker Tichon? Again, perhaps because these were shown hold. Again, others disagree. Others say no. It applies across the board, and it's not just in Bezin. But again, it seems to be a machlokas. What's interesting is, and I'll finish with this. Towards the end, he writes as follows: "This is in the Kuntres Abiyurim and Ostalim. In Navola Sakeim Esol and Kol Omer, he says there a number of prominent authorities hold she'ein iser Torah b'sheker b'milu d'alma she'ein bo mishum nezek l'chaveru. There's no iser if it's not going to harm anybody." But Yisur Medirei Kabbalah, but there's still in Navi, and even though Afshel Chora ain't Afkamina, the Ma'aser that we keep everything and so on and so forth. Okay, but Nirash and Afkamina, he Ad Kama Tzarch the Troch until Derech Acheres Kasher Tzarch the Shaker Abur Shalom or for other things. How far do you have to bend to avoid it? In other words, if it's unavoidable. So since we're dealing with something from the Navi, you don't have to be as stringent about it as you would if it have to be something in the Torah. And then he adds one other thing. The truth is, Midrash Sheker Tirchok is formulated as a mitzvah saseh. It's not a lav. Midrash Sheker Tirchok is not a lav. It's a mitzvah saseh. Okay? So he says there's a mitzvah kiyumis, that I'm mekayim a mitzvah I mean, the sheker tichok when I avoid falsehood. However, if there's a pressing purpose, so right now I'm just not going to do that mitzvah, right? I mean, there are a lot of mitzvahs which apply in general, don't apply every moment, right? So, I mean, when there's something else, so I won't do that mitzvah now. There's a mitzvah bikur cholim, so I have to run every minute to do bikur cholim? I mean, like, I have to run every minute, right? No, when I'm situated, right now I'm not going to do it, I have something else to do. Right now, I'm not going to give stock. I have something else to do, even though it's a mitzvah. So we can argue that midrash sheker tichok is similarly, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. But if there's something else that's pressing, for example, it's going to cause me a monetary loss. And again, we said it was not going to hurt anybody else. So there's room perhaps to allow being deceptive and writing glass or, you know, fragile. Better would be write fragile, handle with care. Okay. But if you're nervous, that still won't work. And you write glass. Again, you're not in violation of anything. Right? You're not in violation. Now, we come back to what we said at the beginning. So I'm saying, according to this approach, it's not minotaur. Right. Even if you say it's outside the bezin, but perhaps it's only to mitzvah to say. You're a mekayim of a mitzvah. Right now, I'm not mekayim of a mitzvah. I'm doing avera because I have some other reason why, a good reason not. And again, it's not sheker because the sense of harming somebody else or taking something I'm not entitled to. So with those coolers, perhaps there's room to be lenient in that case. Okay?
Very good.
It might not apply. Bill, you have to do every day. It might not apply to that.